950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here for today's local Minnesota Radio Hour. And Brett, we've managed to accomplish the impossible. You know what that is?
We have?
Yep. Minnesota has fit all four seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter, into one single week.
We have, yeah. How much snow did you get in your area?
I got a good brushing. I mean, it was gone after a couple hours of the sun being out, but waking up, it did look like a winter snowfall.
I'm still wondering how some areas got a ton of snow, because I had a couple friends that posted pictures on Facebook that live in the metro area where they made, like, snowmen.
Whoa.
How did they get that much snow?
Yeah, no, I got nowhere near that amount, but yeah. Everything was really wet after that snowfall. Mm-hmm. But then we have today, which is beautiful. I was hot today, dressing in a sweatshirt and going around town, the sun beaming down. So we had all four seasons this week. Very Minnesotan.
Exactly, and Thursday in the 60s, maybe 70. So, yeah, definitely all four seasons.
On Thursday?
Yep.
Well, tomorrow is my birthday. So today is my last day in my 20s. I'm 29. Tomorrow
that's a
I'll
big
be 30.
One.
Yeah, I know. Those are always a bummer. Being like 29, 39, that's always the worst year to have your birthday because then you enter this new territory.
Mm-hmm.
But today is also the last day to register to vote in Minnesota by mail or online in advance. You can still register to vote the day of the election. But today is your last opportunity to pre-register to vote. So important to know, though, that we have the law that you can register day of election at your polls. But important, if you want to get that in ahead of time, be all set, or vote absentee, today is your last opportunity to register. And later in the show, I'm going to get into a call from the Carver County Republicans to have poll challengers. Have you heard of a poll challenger?
Yeah, they're not good. They just go around and basically harass people. And
yep, exactly.
They say they're trying to, well, we're just making sure. But really, it is harassing people that they think might vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we'll get into what a poll challenger is and why the Republicans are calling for it later in the show. We also will be speaking with Will Sommer of the Wright Richter email newsletter. He does a little right-wing media and politician watch via email, and we speak to him with some things going on in the right wing, Alex Jones, Donald Trump, some other figures, QAnon. We figure out what's going on with all them in that crazy conspiracy world. But to start things off, I want to talk about the attorney general race, and I want to kind of clear the roads in this race. This has become so convoluted. There's so many different angles of allegations, like the new one we have of Doug Wardlow and Ryan, which Matt talked a lot about. So this race has gotten really dirty. And when Keith Ellison entered the race, we expected this. Even if there wasn't abuse allegations, there was going to be some controversy that the Republicans were going to bring up. It was either going to be his Muslim faith or make it really racial. And I know that if it wasn't this specific allegation, it would have been something else we'd be dealing with this race, just because of who the figure Keith Ellison is, what he represents, and the target that the GOP has on him. But I want to talk about why I will be voting for Keith Ellison very enthusiastically because of his record and his stance on issues. He's really a figure that I can trust with his platform and his consistency over the years. So I'm going to get into that. But first off, Noah Johnson of the Grassroots Legalized Cannabis Party, which I always love that name, Grassroots Legalized Cannabis.
Really rolls off the tongue.
Party. They managed to get grass in that too. Grassroots.
Mm-hmm. I think they should have a couple more Y's on the party.
Yeah, party.
Yeah.
But Noah Johnson did a very unorthodox move and endorsed his opponent, Keith Ellison, for the Minnesota Attorney General race. In a statement he posted on Facebook yesterday, it reads, "My name is Noah M. Johnson. I am the Grassroots Legalized Cannabis candidate for the office of Minnesota Attorney General in this year's election. I'm writing this in order to do something unusual for a political candidate. I am endorsing my opponent, Keith Ellison. And so I think this is very important because Noah Johnson has been leading or rising in the polls. He achieved the 5% before the big TPT Almanac debate a few weeks ago. So he was there. That was really the first time I heard Noah Johnson's stances on things. And a lot of people were turned on with what they heard. And with all this controversy surrounding Keith Ellison, he really seemed like a decent option to a lot of people. But he has endorsed Keith Ellison. Before I explain why, I want to explain why I ran for office in the first place. It was not so I could gain any power or fame or even necessarily so I could be elected to office. I ran because I believed deep in my heart that the prohibition against the drug marijuana, which continues to exist not only nationally, but also in supposedly progressive Minnesota, is morally wrong. Is morally wrong because from a utilitarian standpoint, a plant which does no harm to others and affects only its user should not be illegal, as it constitutes a restraint upon liberty without justification. Is wrong because marijuana is well known to be a safe alternative for medical purposes to opioids and for recreational purposes to alcohol and tobacco, which are deadly and their use commonly accepted. Its legalization would boost Minnesota's treasure through tax revenue. It's wrong because the enforcement of anti-marijuana laws is highly disproportionate in its effect of minority communities in comparison to Caucasians. So Noah Johnson endorsed Keith Ellison because last Wednesday, Keith Ellison endorsed the full legalization of marijuana and the expungement of criminal backgrounds associated with marijuana arrests. So this is interesting. Do you think, Brett, that Noah Johnson's supporters will abide by his endorsement after this?
You know, it's tough to say because I really don't know about this whole grassroots party or whatever the abbreviation or the acronym is. I mean, if it was the Independence Party, I would have a little bit of a better idea that they probably would gravitate towards, in theory, whatever other candidate and potential Independence Party candidate would endorse, since that was mostly just an offshoot of the Republican Party. But yeah, the Grassroots Legalized Cannabis Party, I don't know anything about them and if they will go to Keith Ellison, but I will at least say that Noah Johnson probably got into this race mostly because originally it was Lori Swanson who was the attorney general. And I think you can make that same argument with Doug Wardlow, where had they known Keith Ellison was going to be the DFL candidate for attorney general ahead of time, I doubt you would see either Doug Wardlow or Noah Johnson in this race. We probably would see maybe no third party candidate and probably a much higher profile Republican.
Yeah, I agree with those sentiments. And actually, an Alpha News article kind of touches on that with Doug Wardlow being the candidate and the establishment GOP kind of being upset that that is the case, because they kind of wrote off this seat initially with expecting Lori Swanson to run and to win overwhelmingly. So John Gilmore writes in Alpha News in the article, "Fear and Loathing in Minnesota, Doug Wardlow's Winning Campaign, a Strange Alliance of the DFL, Local Media, and Republican Swamp Doesn't Want Doug to Win." And before I read some of this, it was a very interesting article to get kind of into the mind of this modern GOP movement in Minnesota and these Trump Republicans, because you don't interact with them as often, and this growing portion of the Republican Party is really Trumpian and different than the usual Republican figures that we think of, like in Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty and Norm Coleman. These guys don't think highly of those people, but the Doug Wardlow is their guy. So John writes, "Douglas Head was the last Republican Attorney General of Minnesota, serving from 1967 to 1972. The DFL captured and has continuously held that important constitutional office ever since, a testament to the sheer political incompetence that the ongoing talent famine of the Minnesota Republican establishment. For the first time in 46 years, Republican Doug Wardlow not only has the best chance to win that office, but must be declared, at this point, to be the front runner. This has the liberal base, the local media, and some of the unusual, or the usual suspects in the Republican Party unhappy. It has me delighted. So then John goes on to describe Keith Ellison. Ellison, for the most part, running as the people's lawyer, which is Soros speak for the far-left agenda that weaponizes attorney generals across the nation against your rights. And on Doug Wardlow, he says, Doug Wardlow is running far to the right. And even Republican strategists say they wish they had fielded a stronger candidate. This quote embodies the untalented Minnesota Republican swamp in ways few others could. They're still mad about Pawlenty losing, mind you. He goes on, Wardlow is a strong candidate. He was for right to work while in the legislature, something at which the girly men in the MNGOP faint dead away at the mere mention. And who would be a stronger candidate? Perpetual Boy Scout and never Trumper, Harry Niska? Niska would have been crushed by the Bolshevik Ellison machine, all while bleeding that he was a nice guy. Enough of these candidates. And then he goes on to trash more of the Republicans, maybe those strategists who haven't strategized a way to win the attorney general's office in 46 years were Kirked out, or were they from the Tom Emmer camp? If you said both, you're catching on to the undertow of Minnesota State Republican politics. You won't read about it in newspapers or watch it on Almanac or at Issues. Believe me, you'll read it here. We welcome hate readers. He goes on, he trashes Norm Coleman, and he talks about if Wardlow wins, how there will be a three-way split of the GOP in Minnesota. But do you find that interesting, kind of that tone that he was coming from and kind of giving you a glimpse into the mind of these Minnesota Republicans?
Well, first off, I got to say, was that Arnold Schwarzenegger using the term girly men in there?
I know.
But then on a more serious note, I'm not surprised at all because I got the sense back in the summer when I saw them at their convention that the base loved this guy.
Yeah.
He was definitely their Trump candidate. And I can see how the establishment is not a big fan of him. I mean, he's relatively not well known. If you've seen videos of him speaking when he was at the state legislature, he's not the most articulate guy ever. And he has a very checkered history. I just think, again, if they had known that this was going to be a winnable seat for them, we would have seen a much more high-profile Republican running. And the question would be, is there even anyone more high-profile? I mean, the Republican bench is pretty thin right now.
But yeah.
Going back to your editorial, yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. The base loves the guy, and I think the establishment is very hesitant, although they're probably going to vote for him anyways because they're dislike of Keith Ellison overrides any concerns they have about Doug Wardlow.
And he mentions in the article that he believes Tom Emmer will challenge Tina Smith in 2 years. That I could believe, as Tom Emmer is kind of their only reputable, like consistently winning politician nowadays.
I wouldn't buy Tom Emmer winning, though, because he couldn't even win a statewide race in 2010, which was an ultra-friendly Republican year. He lost a statewide race in a super-friendly Republican year. How is he going to win in a presidential year, which at the very least will probably be a neutral between either Democrat or Republican and maybe even slightly favoring Democrats?
Yeah, so Doug Wardlow, he's their guy. The new Trumpian GOP in Minnesota, they like Wardlow. And as progressives in Minnesota, Keith Ellison should be our guy. So when, Brett, you asked me kind of about Noah Johnson and we were talking about why people shouldn't vote for third parties with the system we have. And for me, it wasn't so much of not voting for him, but that we should be excited about Keith Ellison and him being an attorney general and what that could mean for Minnesota. So right off the bat, he'll follow through with what Lori Swanson is doing as she's leaving. Today, there's the story about Lori Swanson suing insulin makers for the alleged price gouging. Keith Ellison will get behind that and continue pushing that, as well as suing the opioid makers, Purdue Pharma. They talked about that in the Almanac debate, and Wardlow was against pursuing any attorney general action towards these big pharma companies and opioid distributors. So just right off the bat, the two cases that are kind of pending, and if they don't finish up by next year, Keith will be ready to bat. But as a lawyer, Keith Ellison has tremendous experience. He worked 3 years for the firm of Lindquist and Venom, where he was a litigator specializing in civil rights, employment, and criminal defense law. He then became the executive director of the nonprofit Legal Rights Center in Minneapolis, both of which he was fighting for common people, for workers' rights, civil rights. And I know Keith Ellison's history before becoming a politician. He was very active in North Minneapolis as a community organizer and activist. I was familiar with him growing up just because our neighborhood had so many shootings, and Keith Ellison was always there at the vigils. He was always at the Minneapolis Urban League. But he also just has a phenomenal progressive record. He's come out on a lot of issues ahead of other Democrats. Back in 2006, he said, "Time is now for universal single-payer health care." While many Democrats at that time weren't talking about single-payer health care, we got the Affordable Care Act, but it was a small minority of anyone talking about the potential for single-payer health care, and now that's kind of become the progressive litmus test. He's voted twice to increase the minimum wage and believes in something you don't hear many politicians ever talk about, a maximum wage for CEOs, capping the amount of income a person can make in a year. He's voted yes on restricting employer interference for union organizing back in 2007 when he was a newly elected congressperson. And it's just, he prioritizes green energy, avoids foreign entanglements, opposes expanding the military, and make voter registration easier. So he's part of the reason why in Minnesota we have that law that you can register same day. That was a big reason why Jesse Ventura actually won. He had a tremendous amount of voters who showed up the day of. So it creates a different political landscape in our state. And one of the reasons that we're able to remain the brightest blue state in the country is our accessibility to voting and our long, just the way we encourage people to register, and the day of registration is huge. But what are your thoughts on Keith Ellison? Why are you supporting him? Give us a call at 952-946-6205. And we will be right back after the break. We'll talk about Angie Craig and Samuel L. Jackson teaming up here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Are you worried because the pain, numbness, tingling, or burning in your feet never seems to go away? You may feel like Lyrica or gabapentin never seem to fix your problem. Many of you are concerned because your sleep, walking, and balance problems are only getting worse. At Woodbury and Plymouth Neuropathy Care, we've helped thousands of patients reverse their neuropathy symptoms without harmful drugs or painful injections.
Well, I had stabbing, burning, couldn't sleep at night, the numbness, I was unsure where I was. I didn't even know where my feet were, I was unsteady on them.
What did you notice change in your symptoms since starting?
Now I got my feeling in my feet, I don't have the tingling or the stabbing and burning. It just blows me away that it actually is gone.
Call Woodbury and Plymouth Neuropathy Care today to schedule your free neuropathy severity consultation to see if our treatment methods are right for you. Call 763-325-4998. That's 763-325-4998. 763-325-4998.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week, I'll highlight Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a rising star who's unseated a 10-term Democrat to win the primary for a House seat in New York. Then I'll talk about racism and trauma. Lastly, I'll put in a plug for empathy. Much good stuff. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day, 7 days a week.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes, Brett Johnson here for today's local Minnesota radio hour. Phone number 952-946-6205. Angie Craig released a new ad with some celebrity superpower. Samuel L. Jackson appeared in an ad. Do we have the clip? Can we play it?
We do.
This isn't just a kitty commode. This is Angie Craig's kitty commode. The same Angie Craig who's running for Congress in November to represent Minnesota's 2nd District. With the midterms only days away, Angie's busy on the campaign trail 24/7, making sure the people in her district know she's going to fight for them. Which is why I'm here, scooping out bits of kitty treasure for her. It's really important that Angie wins so the Democrats can take back the House, and I'd do anything to help her. Anything.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of national attention for these suburban races here in Minnesota, CD 2 and 3, and a lot of creative energy. I know Dean Phillips' Bigfoot ad was a huge viral hit with over 1 million plays, but Samuel L. Jackson... Interesting that he came. I bet it has something to do with who the current holder of that seat is, Mr. Jason Lewis.
Ugh, Jason, how did we ever elect that guy? I'm still shocked over that.
Yeah, my dad was asking about this, and I was telling him how he was a former right-wing radio host and Rush Limbaugh substitute. So that gives you everything you need to know about Jason Lewis's character.
He subbed for Rush back in the day?
Yep. Wow. That's where a lot of those controversial statements he made came from, were old Rush Limbaugh tapes.
Ugh.
But the other local news is Karen Housley, the GOP candidate for Senate against Tina Smith, made a Facebook post comparing Michelle Obama to a chimp. What she said was that... In the 1951 film Bedtime for Bonzo, starring then actor Ronald Reagan, that the chimp in the movie likely had better posture than Mrs. Obama. And what I find just hilarious about this is that, come on, Karen Housley, that's the best pop culture reference you have is a Ronald Reagan movie? Oh my God, you guys are in so deep with this. Like, just a one-track mind. It's unbelievable that that's what you could think of, let alone just how disgusting your statement is and how obviously racist it is to make a monkey comparison. I mean, this is the same thing that got Roseanne in trouble, but really, the only movie you can think of is a Ronald Reagan movie? Oh, brother.
Wow, I didn't even realize that. Of course it's a Ronald Reagan movie.
Oh, my God.
Hollywood probably ended for them after Ronald Reagan stopped acting.
Yeah, absolutely. They just enjoy their own propaganda. That's their entertainment. It's the Sean Hannitys, the Rush Limbaugh, and then the old, good old Ronnie Reagan movies. That's all she has in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a break here. When we return, we'll be speaking with Will Summer of the Wright Richter email newsletter. We'll find out what's going on in that right-wing media world of those Rush Limbaughs and Alex Jones when we return on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your all-energy solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
Child safety is everyone's responsibility. Families and communities are encouraged to be ever vigilant to ensure every child has the safe childhood they deserve. An important reminder brought to you by Skelly Towing, a AAA certified company you can rely on for 24-hour emergency roadside assistance, including towing and car lockout service. In any road emergency, call 952-873-4869 for Skelly Towing. Find them on Facebook. Slow down and move over for emergency vehicles, especially tow trucks. It's the law. Skelly Towing is wishing all a safe fall season.
As you know, I'm an animal lover, and you'd be surprised the mess just a tiny little chihuahua and guinea pig can manage to create. Thankfully, I call Zero Res to clean up the spots my critters leave on the carpeting. Their patented power water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Just call 952-ZERO-RES and tell them you're an AM950 listener. And if you're looking for a new gig, they are now hiring. Go to the careers page on ZeroResMN.com for info. Zero Res, spell it backward or forwards, it spells the same.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Steve, what are we going to talk about this week?
This week we talk about the six items that will help your home value, the lack of home laws being passed in Washington, D.C., and why 5% mortgage rates might not be a bad thing.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Hey, Ole, how's that bumper crop of soybeans working out?
Oh, cripes, not well, Sven. If only I had a patch of reefer to get by on.
Well, did you catch that Grassroots Party commercial quoting from our state constitution? Get this. Any person may sell or peddle the products of the farm or garden occupied and cultivated by him without obtaining a license therefor.
Oh, what does that mean?
Means you really should have planted some cannabis. You see, under the Controlled Substances Law, what's actually illegal is being in possession without a license. But if you're selling what you've cultivated, the Constitution says you don't need any license.
Does the governor know about this?
He sure will. If we vote Chris Wright and Duda Schwartzbacher in the governor's race, they've got Noah Johnson for attorney general, too.
Boy, cannabis makes you cough, but politics makes you gag. This year, I'm going to vote Wright for governor.
Paid for by the Grassroots Legalized Cannabis Party.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 32, Wednesday sunny with a high near 45, Thursday sunny with a high near 61, and Friday sunny with a high near 60.
Litton's Party Value has moved 1 mile north. Getting to Litton's Party Value is easy. Just Google 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Shop their haunted Halloween and fabulous fall sections. And yes, they have free parking. Or you can also shop online at partyvalue.com. That's partyvalue.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here for today's local Minnesota Radio Hour. And we have a special guest. Will Summer is the tech and internet reporter at the Daily Beast and also runs a wonderful newsletter called the Wright Richter, where he keeps tabs on what's going on with right-wing politicians and media pundits. It's a really good way to figure out what's going on in that world consistently. Will, it's good to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Hunter.
So the first thing I wanted to ask you about was Alex Jones has been deplatformed lately, and I'm curious at where that is standing right now. I mean, he's had a big following on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. So losing those are a big blow for his company. How is he handling this? Where does it stand right now?
Sure. I mean, well, you know, the first thing I think is he's not handling it very well in terms of, you know, you put Alex Jones, a guy not really known for his self-control, you know, up against a situation that really threatens his whole company. And so he's been blowing up. So, I mean, you know, these bans, they cut him off from both new viewers and maybe more importantly, you know, ways to advertise his brain pills and the nutritional supplements that make up most of his wealth. So, you know, that really cuts off his lifeblood. Initially, InfoWars was saying, well, this is actually great news because now more people than ever are interested in InfoWars. But after a brief jump in the downloads of their app, you know, if you look at the other kind of like YouTube knockoff sites that they've put their videos on, you know, the views are something like are down like 99%. I mean, it's a huge amount. Like he used to be able to get at least 50,000 views on really mundane videos, like his average view, you know, after a day. And now these videos are getting maybe 500, maybe 2,000 views. So, you know, that's a pretty significant drop off. And it seems like, you know, the platforms are keeping with it. He kind of tried to sneak back on recently with another InfoWars related Twitter account and quickly found himself kicked off.
Yeah, Alex Jones has an interesting business model where I know when he broadcasts on the radio, he chooses not to sell advertising space, but rather push the products he sells on InfoWars, like those brain pills and weird testosterone vitamins. I know that a lot of these companies like the Young Turks or Sam Cedar, they really rely on YouTube for revenue. Was he even making money off YouTube? Because I know they will deplatform and demonetize videos for content like his. So was that a big source of his revenue, do you know?
Yeah, it's my understanding that they were running ads on at least some of them. You know, YouTube tends to kind of go through one by one and demonetize certain videos. But in this case, I know he had ads on at least some of them. But again, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right that losing that ad revenue is another blow to his attempts to, you know, to build this sort of conspiracy theory empire.
Does he made a InfoWars app after YouTube and Twitter and Facebook pulled him? Is that app still alive? Or I heard Apple was potentially pulling him too.
Yeah, so I believe Apple pulled it from the App Store, and then so you know if you already downloaded the app, you still have it, but now more people can't get it. I'm not sure what it's like on like the Android App Store. But, you know, I mean, we're really seeing Alex Jones kind of squeezed out. And the next step, I think, is he's going to face some issues with payment processors, credit card companies, PayPal, stuff like that. And that tends to be, I mean, that gets really serious at that point when, you know, he can't sell stuff like that. And then, you know, we've seen this happen with much more extreme, like white supremacist groups, where they then sort of have to count on their audience to send Bitcoin, which is obviously much more cumbersome.
Yeah, and a lot of these right-wing, more hate-filled content, they move from Twitter to Gab. Can you explain what the Gab community is to the listeners?
Sure. So Gab is sort of like Twitter for people who've been kicked off of Twitter. And so it's kind of this rival of Twitter's or would-be rival that is trying to, you know, the idea, they think there's like a market in sort of free speech Twitter. In practice, you know, Gab is like a pretty poorly run site in terms of its like user interface and stuff like that. And they've had a lot of trouble getting off the ground, even though we've seen a lot more people getting kicked off of sites like Twitter. A lot of big personalities you would think would be porting their audiences over. But sort of in practice, it ends up being sort of a dead end.
And it's funny how they use a frog as their icon. So it's like Pepe
the
Frog. Yeah,
that's a reference to Pepe the Frog.
Now, Kanye West is been in the news lately. He's been hanging with Donald Trump. What's Kanye been up to? Who's he been talking with? What's going on with Kanye West?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, over the past few months, I think a lot of people have been surprised to learn that Kanye, who had already made some sort of pro-Trump statements, you know, since the presidential race, that he's sort of swinging around and now is a diehard Trump guy and also is into kind of some other weird stuff. So he appears to have linked up with Candace Owens, who's sort of a right-wing internet figure. She's an African-American woman and speaks a lot about, you know, how African-American voters should join the GOP. And so she and this fellow named Charlie Kirk, who is a young man who does a lot of, like, college student conservative activism, they had somehow become linked to Kanye and seemed to be sort of giving him political advice. And so he's been, you know, making all these sort of off the wall statements. And then, of course, last week he visited the White House and went on this rant in front of the president.
It's bizarre. I saw that he was FaceTiming with Sean Hannity, and Candace Owens set that up. Candace Owens is kind of his new publicist in this world.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing watching Candace Owens, who made her name sort of in the Gamergate world of, you know, sort of this like internet resentment. She had this anti-bullying startup, and then, you know, she was criticized by some on the left over it because they felt it was going to end up revealing people's personal information. So then she kind of went full Gamergate. And now she's sort of rebranded as Kanye's like political consigliere. You know, she wears, you know, head to toe Yeezy, which is his fashion brand and all that. So it's kind of a strange collision of, you know, pop culture and politics and music.
You know, I saw Johnny Rotten wearing a Make America Great Again shirt. So it's kind of like these musicians and figures will do this as like a cry for attention almost.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you know, that's what we saw, you know, sort of famously with Roseanne Barr. You know, she was someone who was getting very into Trumpism and various conspiracy theories. Now, obviously, as it turned out, her show was so successful, she didn't really need that. But, you know, it is kind of a thing, I think, that can attract celebrities who are a little, you know, troubled or, you know, sort of their careers are not what they once were.
So Diamond and Silk are releasing a pro-Trump movie, and there's been quite a few pro-Trump movies this summer and fall. What's the deal with that, and who are Diamond and Silk?
Sure. So Diamond and Silk are these two women. They're African-American Facebook video YouTube personalities, and sort of their claim to fame is that they're always trying to urge other black voters to support Trump. And so they have these kind of very bombastic videos where they say, you know, like, oh, I can't believe Maxine Waters said that and stuff like that. And so they have this movie coming out tonight called, coming out this week called Dummy Crafts. And so, you know, there's a play on words there. And it's basically Diamond and Silk kind of travel the country, you know, in pursuit of various liberals to confront them. But, you know, I mean, these people are, you know, they have pretty high pickup amongst the Trump base, at least online. I believe they've performed or opened at some Trump rallies. So I will say their premiere tonight is also at the Trump International Hotel in D.C. So they're a big hit with the base. And, you know, as far as how Dummycrats will do, I guess we'll see.
Now, this is common where these right-wing media figures that are minorities blow up in prominence because then they appear on all these other shows and then they talk down on whatever their social justice cause would be of their group. It blows up because then it's like, see, we're not hateful. We have our own.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you end up with a lot of basically anyone who isn't like an old white guy can really be embraced by the conservative media. So like in the case of Charlie Kirk, here's like a young person. In the case of Candace Owens or Diamond Silk, you know, here's an African-American person. And a lot of it kind of revolves around like, other members of my group are like kind of their complaints about the GOP or the state of the government or Black Lives Matters or what have you. I mean, these are just complainers and these are overblown. And so, you know, that's something that really, can be a hit on something like Fox News.
We're speaking with Will Sommer of the Daily Beast and the Wright Richter email newsletter. Roosh shut down his website. And I have a personal Roosh story that, like you, I like to follow some of these right-wing accounts or just things that I find vile. And when I found Roosh, I was like, oh my God, this is disgusting. So I subscribed to see what he would say next. And my girlfriend at the time saw one of these emails and got furious at me that I would read anything like this. And I had the hardest time explaining like, no, that's not me. I just wanted to see what he was going to say. And she was mad for a while about that. But he has absolutely sexist and vile content. It's really disgusting. But you say that he's kind of given up?
Yeah, well, so he, you know, Roosh is a guy from the what you might call the manosphere corner of the right-wing internet, a guy who's like a men's rights activist. He started as a pickup artist, you know, trying to teach guys how to get laid. And then so since then, he's become he's kind of moved further and further right, sort of palled around with various alt-right figures like Richard Spencer. And so now, you know, it's like I mentioned, Alex Jones potentially losing his payment processors. Roosh is sort of hanging it up on his main site, which was all about, you know, men's rights and kind of an attack on women and stuff like that. He's had to hang it up because PayPal will not, they shut down his account. And so he's basically unable to get enough money to run his site. He can't pay anyone to work for him, stuff like that. And so, yeah, I mean, in this case, this would be an example, I think, of activists who have pushed for deplatforming and for, you know, pressuring these tech companies. I mean, this would be a big success for them.
Yeah, he was particularly bad. I remember the advice he would have would be just to humiliate women and to just think of them as less and say things. So one less of him in the world is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was vile stuff. You know, he called for, you know, rape to be legal on private property and all this stuff. So, yeah, you know, certainly I think his voice will be much muted going forward.
Yeah, it was totally embarrassing when she read that email.
Yeah, you know, I mean, his pickup artist advice is supposed to help you get girls, you know, not talk to your girlfriend.
Yeah, it does the exact opposite, actually, when they find out that you would ever read this. So the QAnon folks are having a rally. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so QAnon is this conspiracy theory based on various, you know, cryptic clues posted on websites. And, you know, people believe it's a Trump administration official who's giving all these, kind of revealing this secret world. Now, of course, you know, this is all foolishness. But nevertheless, you know, we've seen a lot of people showing up at Trump rallies with QAnon shirts and stuff like that. And so not that in 2 weeks from now in D.C., the Walk Away movement, which is a group of supposed former Democrats who say they're dishing the Democratic Party for Trump, they're holding a rally in D.C., and several of their speakers are big QAnon promoters. So I'm very curious to see the amount of sort of QAnon presence that we get in D.C. that weekend.
Yeah, and where do people follow the QAnon conspiracy? I'm confused how this works exactly.
Sure. So there's this website called 8chan, which is like a really vile website. I would not recommend people check it out. But these clues are posted anonymously, and they say things like Hillary Clinton, Operation Mockingbird, consider the implications or whatever. And so then people kind of puzzle over these, and they say, you know, then there's forums and YouTube videos and all this stuff trying to decode these supposed clues. But, you know, all these predictions have been made, and then they turn out not to be real. You know, Hillary Clinton was supposed to get arrested at the end of October of 2017. Obviously, that never happened. But then the QAnon believers, you know, which I would say there's a couple thousand diehards at least, they end up saying, well, you know, this is why it didn't happen. And, you know, it's getting so embarrassing at the Trump rallies now that all these Q people coming out, that the Secret Service or someone in the Trump campaign, there's a lot of reports that the Q shirts are being confiscated, or people are being told you can't wear Q gear into the rally.
Has Trump leaned any way on how he feels about QAnon? Has he acknowledged it? Has he encouraged it, like given it a tip of the hat at all, or has he stayed away?
It's funny. So the QAnon people are very into thinking they've seen some sort of signal from Trump, like, so Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet. So whenever Trump says the number 17, they'll say, oh, see, you know, he's signaling to us. On the other hand, you know, at the White House press briefing, they were asked about QAnon and whether the president sort of disowns this group of his supporters. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders was very reluctant to and said, you know, as long as they're not promoting violence, you know, essentially we're not going to comment on it. So now, of course, you know, in reality, QAnon has already inspired multiple violent incidents. You know, a QAnon believer with some guns and a tank shut down a bridge near the Hoover Dam. I mean, this is something that unfortunately is starting to have real life effects.
Yeah, and is it a lot of the Pizzagate followers just now channeling their energy in this?
Yeah, exactly. So it's sort of like a mega Pizzagate or like a sequel to Pizzagate. It sort of incorporates everything from Pizzagate and then, you know, 50 other conspiracy theories as well.
And I can understand its appeal because it gives people a chance to figure out things, to read clues. And if you believe any of this, you really think you're doing good for the world. So I do understand to an extent how this blows up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a very sort of dramatic thing. I mean, if you believe in QAnon, you think that Trump is sort of battling in this global pedophile cabal. And so, you know, why wouldn't you get very passionate about that? And of course, you know, we've seen the end game of that, which, you know, involves people storming DC pizzerias and firing guns and stuff like that.
All right. Will, why don't you explain how people can follow you at the Daily Beast and the Wright Richter and anything you have upcoming that you'd like to promote?
Absolutely. Yeah. So WrightRichter.com is, you just go there and you can subscribe to the, that'll take you to the Daily Beast site where you can subscribe. You can follow my stories on the Daily Beast at thedailybeast.com. And I'm on Twitter at Will Sommer, WILLSOMMER.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being with us today. I highly recommend everyone sign up for the Wright Richter. It's a really interesting newsletter. And we'll have you on again. Thanks a lot.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. When we return, we will talk. When we return, we'll talk about the Carver County GOP looking for poll challengers to question voters' eligibility to vote. When we return on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hello, humans. It's Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many know that I have a diversity inclusion company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I want to share about a speaking event I'll be hosting on Monday, November 5th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Loft Literary Center in Minneapolis. I'll be giving my gray area thinking talk on how to be welcoming to others. I'd love for you to join me. Go to elliekrug.com and look at the Human is Human public events page for more. Please come and please tell others. See you then.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette. 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us this week for Minnesota Matters, a news, entertainment, and sports show covering everything that matters in the North Star State. Tune us in right here or at your convenience at minnesotanewsnetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Saturday mornings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here for today's local Minnesota radio hour. Phone number 952-946-6205. And there's been a Facebook post from the Carver County GOP. Dear fellow Republicans, I am working for the state MNGOP to help coordinate Election Day activities. I understand that on Election Day, November 6, 2018, you may be working like me to turn MN red, working for individual campaigns or other organizations. But if you aren't, we could use your help as a poll challenger. Please take this survey and forward to any other Republicans you think would be interested. There will be training to be announced later that day. If you have questions, email here. But a poll challenger, it's actually allowed under Minnesota law. It allows you to challenge another voter's eligibility if you have personal knowledge that the voter isn't eligible to vote there. What the GOP is doing is trying to suppress people from voting, kind of bully them. Even though we have same-day voter registration, they try and pick out people that they suspect aren't eligible to vote and make it uncomfortable for them at the polls, so they just give up and walk away instead of going and registering if they weren't registered. The DFL has set up an attorney, so people are encouraged, if they witness any poll challengers, to call a number set up by the DFL to talk about their rights as voters and to get them to register same day. Colleen in Blaine is calling. She's an Ellison supporter. Colleen?
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Yeah. My name is Colleen. I live in Blaine, have known and worked for and with Keith Ellison since 2006. One of the key things that has me supporting him and will always have me supporting him is the relentless work that he has done on voters' rights and balloting and safe balloting across the nation, where without fail he has been putting forth bills that, of course, Republicans are keeping from going into effect. But his key things are same-day registration nationwide, paper balloting nationwide, and national holiday for voting.
Yes, awesome. Thank you for the call, Colleen. And I agree, Keith has done a ton of work with registering people to vote and voter laws. He actually registered me to vote back in 2006 when he was running for Congress for his first term. But that's all we got for today. Brett and Hunter signing off on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. See you later.